Narada Muni has just died. So is that a cause for lamentation? Certainly not for Sri Narada Muni, because at the exact moment when his body fell to the ground, his material body dropped, at that moment his spiritual eternal body developed. How wonderful. In text 28, Narada, explaining this to Vyas, says, "In due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who had therefore no attachments." Even that simple phrase, so important. Why did he have no attachments? Because he was constantly, completely, fully absorbed in thinking about Krishna. If we try to become attached from matter without developing attachment to Krishna, we will find ourselves simply in a frustrated and frustrating situation. Being completely freed from all material taints, Narada met with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Prabhupada's purport. To be fully absorbed in the thought of Krishna means clearance of material dirts or hankering. As a very rich man has no hankering for small petty things, so also a devotee of Lord Krishna, who is guaranteed to pass on to the kingdom of God, where life is eternal, fully cognizant and blissful, naturally has no hankerings for petty material things, which are like dolls or shadows of the reality and are without permanent value. That is the sign of spiritually enriched persons. And in due course of time, when a pure devotee is completely prepared, all of a sudden the change of body occurs, which is commonly called death. And for the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning, and illumination follows simultaneously. That is to say, a devotee simultaneously changes his material body and develops a spiritual body by the will of the Supreme. Even before death, a pure devotee has no material affection due to his body's being spiritualized like a red-hot iron in contact with fire. So what happens to the iron when placed in the fire? Who knows the Sanskrit term for this? Anyone? Tadatmika. When iron is placed in fire, it becomes hot, hotter, hottest, red-hot, and then it can perform all the activities that fire can perform. It burns. So is it iron actually? Or is it fire? So someone could say, well, it's iron. But actually, practically speaking, it acts as fire. So this is really our mission. Although we are within a material body, if we place ourselves in the fire of Krishna consciousness, we will become hotter, hotter, red hot in Krishna consciousness. And practically we will act as spirit. And then we will be happy. And how does spirit act? How does the soul act? Of course it's eternal. But it acts instrumental for Krishna. Then we will be happy. Srila Jiva Goswami, or rather Srila Sridhar Swami, comments on 27 actually, that death at his leisure suddenly appeared to Narada. At the end, having been awarded a transcendental body, befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus, all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. So previously, in earlier in the chapter, in text 23, could someone read that? Please. 23. What did the Lord, and the Lord was speaking to Narada after he disappeared. What did he say? So the Lord fulfilled his promise, the promise that he had made to Narada by giving him the proper body to be in his, to be an associate, a spiritual body. And just like if there's a big fire, we cannot get close to that fire because we are not made of fire. So similarly, until we are fully spiritual, we cannot get close to the Supreme Spiritual. We may wish to go back to Godhead, and that wish is glorious, that desire is glorious, but yet we can't until we are fully spiritual and the material tinges or desires have left us. Text 29. At the end of the millennium, when the personality of Godhead Lord Narayan lay down within the water of devastation, Brahma began to enter into him along with all creative elements, and I also entered through his breathing. After 4,300,000,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Marichi, Angira, Atri, and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord, and I also appeared along with them. Prabhupada will explain later, and I think it's a comment of one of the acharyas as well, is that Narada is different from the other sages, is that they go into the body of the Lord and then they come out again, and they're not exactly born or created, but they awaken themselves. Jiva Goswami comments on this verse saying that Narada stayed in the Lord's body for 4,000 yuga cycles, so a long time. Marichi was a Prajapati mind son of Brahma and also of Marut. His son is Kashyapa. These sages do not undergo a physical birth, but they, like Brahma, awaken themselves. Narada is actually eternal and not subject to birth. Other sages are such personalities like Atri, Angiras, Pulana, Pulasta, Kratu, Pachetas, Daksha, Vashishta, and Bhrigu. So there are 10 mental sons of Brahma that will be described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And Narada is different even from these sages in that he has the capacity to not only travel at his will within the material universe, but he can go to any universe or even to the spiritual world, so exalted is his position. And he has a unique position in the pastimes of the Lord. He often is the impetus to make pastimes happen. Text 31. Since then, after coming out of the Lord's body, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service to the Lord. We'll read from halfway or a third of the way down the purport. Because Narada, again, can go anywhere, material or spiritual worlds. And then later on, there'll be a classic purport about Prabhupada, by Prabhupada, about freedom, for all of you freedom lovers. Very wonderful purport about freedom, but that's a little later. But now, Sri Narada Muni could enter all these planets in both the material and spiritual spheres without restriction, as much as the Almighty Lord is free to move personally in any part of his creation. So the devotee becomes as free as the Lord. He takes on the qualities of the Lord. By the Lord's grace, he can do anything, practically speaking. He can do more than the Lord sometimes by the Lord's grace. In the material world, the living beings are influenced by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. But see, Narada Muni is transcendental to all these material modes. And thus he can travel everywhere unrestricted. He's a liberated spaceman, the first of the cosmonaut astronauts. There was actually in 1968, two devotees they were attempting to make a rock and roll song, a great hit, and they wrote a song about Narada Muni that Prabhupada said he liked. And I used to have a copy of the record, and it went something like this. I'll tell you before you think I'm loony that I'm talking about Narada Muni, eternal spaceman. It was really interesting. The causeless mercy of Lord Vishnu is unparalleled, and such mercy is perceived by the devotees only by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, the devotees never fall down, but the materialists, the fruitive workers and the speculative philosophers do fall down, being forced by the respective modes of nature. So how to keep oneself as clean as Narada Muni? Not easy for one who is tatastha in between. But this is the key, and this is what Narada Muni's instructions to Vyas are, how to be pure while in the material world. The Bhagavatam will teach that. Narada Muni himself heard these things from the Bhaktivedantas. He heard it from the Lord. He practiced it. He gave those instructions to Vyasadeva. And Vyas put these instructions, how to become purified and how to remain pure in the material world. He put these in the Bhagavatam. The rishis, as above mentioned, cannot enter into the transcendental world like Narada. This fact is disclosed in the Sringa Purana. Rishis like Marichi are authorities in fruitive work, and rishis like Shanak and Sanatana are authorities in philosophical speculation. But Sri Narada Muni is the prime authority for transcendental devotional service of the Lord. So of the 10 mental sons of Brahma, each one has a specialty, and his specialty, Narada Muni's, is devotion, devotional service. All the great authorities in the devotional service of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and the order of the Narada Bhakti Sutra. And therefore, all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. So Narada continues. And thus I travel, constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a veena, which is charged with transcendental sound and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. The musical string instrument called the veena, which was handed to Narada by Lord Sri Krishna, is described in the Linga Purana, and this is confirmed by Sri Jiva Goswami. It is said that the veena of all instruments vibrates the purest notes. And of course, Srimati Radharani plays the veena, the best of veena players. This transcendental instrument is identical with Lord Sri Krishna and Narada because all of them are of the same transcendental quality, category. Sound vibrated by the instrument cannot be material, and therefore the glories and pastimes which are broadcast by the instrument of Narada are also transcendental without a tinge of material inebriety. The seven singing meters, namely Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa, are also transcendental and specifically meant for transcendental songs. They are meant to glorify the Lord. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Sri Narada Deva is always fulfilling his obligation to the Lord for his gift of the instrument, and thus he is always engaged in singing his transcendental glories, and it is therefore infallible in his exalted position. What do you think about that? I'll read it one more time. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Sri Narada Deva is always fulfilling his obligation to the Lord for his gift of the instrument, and thus he is always engaged in singing his transcendental glories and is therefore infallible in his exalted position. Any thoughts about that? Practical application? Yeah. That's a deep thought. It's self-tuning. You wouldn't have to tune it if it was given to him by the Lord. Hadn't thought of that one. Any other thoughts, Mataji? Yeah. Anything else? Right? Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. That struck me when I was reading it. If we take whatever ability that is God-given, Krishna's gift to us, whatever it has, we should really try to use that in Krishna's service. After all, he's given it to us, and that's the purpose of it. So, from what I've seen, and always the case, that devotees are very talented and gifted individuals. And the fact that everyone has a different gift makes it more wonderful, and complementary gifts, because no person other than Krishna can have all gifts. Ta-da! But whatever gifts we do have, we should employ those full-heartedly in Krishna's service. Following in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni, a self-realized soul in the material world should also properly use the sound meters, namely sare, gama, etc., in the service of the Lord, by constantly singing the glories of the Lord, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Where is it confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita? What verse? Satatam kirtiyantamam yatantas cha drida vrataha, determined vow. Here's, I have an interesting comment on this verse also. That the musical notes, I can't remember exactly where I got this from, but they're compared to the sounds of animals. So sa is the sound of a peacock, re is a bull, ga is a goat, ma is a heron, pa is the cuckoo, the da is the horse, and ni is the elephant. So the elephant and all the other animals, they have sounds on the scale. So you can, oh, maybe. But just imagine trying to tune your instruments. Okay, elephant, give him a poke. Peacocks. Now, Narada Muni, fully purified. Remember when he was Hantasmin Janmani Bhava Namam Drastam Ivarhati. You won't be able to see me anymore in this life. Why? Why? Kasyanam. Who knows the Sanskrit? I lost the word. Dudarshoham kuyogina. Because you have impurities, still some kasya, kasyanam in the heart. Because you have still, and you are avapakwa, still some immaturity and impurities in the heart, you will not, I regret to say, you won't be able to see me anymore. And Narada had just tried before hearing those words. He was so frustrated because he had seen the Lord in his heart. He had seen him directly. Shakshat darshan. And then the Lord disappeared and he tried by mechanical means to see him again. And he couldn't. How frustrating. But now, fully purified, text 33 says, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart, as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. No one can force Krishna to come. But when one is pure, because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal, because he loves, he's the lover, the servant, he leans towards his devotees, Atma Parjanta Vidanyata, he becomes the servant of his devotees. Therefore, he appears to Narada, soon as Narada chants, the Lord appears within his heart as if he called for him. How wonderful. Prabhupada's purport. The absolute personality of Godhead is not different from his transcendental name, form, pastimes, and the sound vibrations thereof. Please continue. But loudly, please. Yam Shama Sundarama Chintya Guna Sarupam Premanjana Chorita Bhakti Velochanena Shanta Sadhaiva Ridayeshu Balokayanti. There's this one talk of Prabhupada's that's very, very old. It's available on tapes and MP3s, etc., where Prabhupada is speaking about he's chanting the Govindam prayers, the Brahma Samhita, and Chintamani, very, 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 very early tape. And then he's talking about this verse, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena. What's the meaning of that verse? The Premanjana is... Yes, with love, when the eyes are just like kajal. When the eyes are anointed with prem, that type of collyrium, as Prabhupada sometimes translated it, then one cannot see the Lord just one time, but he sees him continually. And on this one talk that Prabhupada was giving, he was looking for the word to describe what this does to you. And he said it's the magic wand. Because a magic wand, you touch it and it will transform something. So prema bhakti, love for Krishna, transforms everything to the eyes. If one's eyes are tinged with love of Krishna, prema bhakti, then not only one can see Krishna, there's not a moment where one doesn't see Krishna. It's like a magic wand. He can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. Prabhu, please read loudly and slowly. It is a natural psychology. Because he's chanting with love. Very wonderful. That he penetrates into the presence of the Lord by his transcendental chanting. His chanting is transcendental, and therefore he penetrates into the presence of the Lord. And therefore, remember again, the earlier on in the sixth chapter, Narada Muni was telling Vyas that the true seer, the one who actually sees, is one who associates with the Lord through transcendental sound vibration. And Narada Muni is personally experiencing this continuously. He's associating with Krishna always by continuously chanting his glories. And therefore, he's making this recommendation to others. And therefore, Vyasa is going to take this recommendation very seriously. So Narada continues saying, it is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties, what is the cause of cares and anxieties? Due to contact of the senses with their objects, these persons can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat. The constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. This is Narada Muni's great recommendation. And in the next verse, he's going to compare this process with other processes. But now we'll read Prabhupada's purport, such a wonderful and important verse. The symptom of a living being is that he cannot remain silent even for some time. He must be doing something, thinking of something, or talking about something. Generally, the materialistic men think and discuss about subjects which satisfy their senses. But as these things are exercised under the influence of the external illusory energy, such sensual activities do not actually give them any satisfaction. There is the promise, the advertisement for satisfaction, but the delivery of the satisfaction never comes. And everyone in this room is old enough to have full experience of this fact. The promise is there, the material energy, the mind, the senses, all promise satisfaction, but they cannot deliver it because, again, the soul is a completely different substance. It is spiritual, it is eternal. It is the Lord's Vishnu Shakti, His internal energy, Antaranga Shakti, Tatastha Shakti. On the contrary, they become full with cares and anxieties the more one tries to enjoy. This is called maya, or what is not. That which cannot give them satisfaction is accepted as an object for satisfaction. So Narada Muni, by his personal experience, says that satisfaction for such frustrated beings engaged in sense gratification is to chant always the activities of the Lord. So who is this recommended for? But what does it specifically say?
Frustrated beings.
Yes. Frustrated beings. Yes. And why are us frustrated beings frustrated? Because engaged in sense gratification. And the cure? To chant always the activities of the Lord. The point is that subject matter... The point is that the subject matter should be changed. No one can check the thinking activities of a living being, nor the feeling, willing, or working processes. And we'll speak a little more about this in the next verse. But if one wants actual happiness, one must change the subject matter only. Instead of talking the politics of a dying man, who is Prabhupada referring to? Huh? Ramakrishna, Mataji said. I wasn't sure about that, but I do know that every politician is a dying man, at least that I know of. So instead of talking about politics, what's going on here and there and this, blah, 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 one might discuss the politics administered by the Lord himself. Okay, discuss politics, but Krishna politics. Instead of relishing activities of a cinema artist, one can turn his attention to the activities of the Lord with his eternal associates, like the gopis and lakshmis. The almighty personality of Godhead, by his causeless mercy, descends on the earth and manifests activities almost on line with the worldly men. This is called Naralila. But at the same time, extraordinarily, because he is almighty. So he performs similar activities, but yet at the same time more wonderful, extraordinary than any man can perform. He does so, then the next question, why does he do that? Why does he wander around in Vrindavan without any shoes? He does so for the benefit of all conditioned souls so that they can turn their attention to transcendence, to fill our consciousness with his pastimes, his activities, and even his political dealings. By doing so, the conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nescience, the source of all miseries. This is stated from personal experience by such an authority as Sri Narada Muni. And we can have the same experience also if we begin to follow the footsteps of the great sage, the dearmost devotee of the Lord. So what are those footsteps that we should follow? Now that's going to be explained by Prabhupada in the purport to 36. We've already heard it, but Prabhupada is going to sum up the footsteps, the process that we have to follow, that we should follow, should we wish to remove our frustrations and miseries and cross the ocean of material suffering. So text 35 explains, So that purport is especially wonderful. 36. Comparing this, the experience of Narada Muni of crossing the ocean of nations by the process of the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of God. And of course, this isn't the first time, nor will be the last time that this will be said in this book. It's going to be said throughout the entire book. Harinam Manukirtanam. Always it's going to be said. To chant. Chant always about the Lord. The Lord's names, His fame, His path. And if we can saturate somehow or another, if we can saturate our consciousness in this internal energy, which everything that Krishna does, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti Asmad, it's all the internal energy of the Lord. If we can somehow saturate our consciousness with this, practically speaking, we won't be in the material world. Well, there are other ways to transcend also. Text 35, Narada says, it is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the Supreme Person, to the Personality of Godhead. So restraining the senses through the processes of yoga and jnana is very, very difficult. In some senses, for a short period of time, it's extremely effective. If one can completely renounce from every material dealing continuously, it can be completely effective because one's mind begins to slow down. If one becomes a practitioner of yoga or vipassana, where one watches one's breath, one's mind begins to slow down. And the result of the mind slowing down is that the modes of passion and ignorance really diminish. And in more goodness, one can perceive himself as a soul through consciousness. But the problem is, it's completely unnatural. Because by nature the soul is active. By nature the soul thinks. It has a mind. It wants pleasure. So as long as one is just sitting for his time period, there can be no problems. But the problem, as soon as you get up, you have to deal with the world. And then your mind starts going again. And then passion and ignorance come right back. Very, very difficult. And not only that, because the soul itself, and that's why one has to start moving again and acting again, because the soul itself isn't satisfied in that inactive position, because its nature is to relate with Krishna. It's pleasure-seeking. And therefore, Prabhupada in his purport compares Vishwamitra Muni, who had troubles, who was a great, powerful Muni, so perfect. He had troubles just by some idea for sense enjoyment entered the mind and then immediately fall down. Comparing that to Thakur Haridas, when Maya Devi herself came before him, he was so enriched in the sweetness of the holy names that he wasn't moved even the slightest from the transcendental position. So this is our goal, this is our ideal. To be so saturated by continuously chanting, continuously immersed in Krishna's service, internally, subtle body, gross body, both. Not just the external, the gross body, but the subtle body, the mind, thinking, feeling, willing, also has to be immersed in Krishna's service and chanting Krishna's glories. And then one's position is so strong and fixed. So this, the satisfaction derived from devotional service is far, far, far superior. There's no ananda, there is sat and chit. So Narada continues, O Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you asked. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. The story of his life, Narada Muni's life that he's just told, is helpful for Vyas and everyone's personal moving forward. And here is Prabhupada's purport. The process of devotional service. So here's the summary of what has happened already. Because Narada's life exhibits the process of advancement. The process of devotional activities from the beginning to the stage of transcendence is all duly explained to satisfy the inquiries of Vyasadeva. He has explained how the seeds of devotional service were sown by transcendental association and how they gradually develop by hearing the sages. The result of such hearing is detachment from worldliness, so much so that even a small boy could receive the death news of his mother, who was his only caretaker, as the blessing of God. And at once he took the opportunity to search out the Lord. A sincere urge for having an interview with the Lord was also granted to him, although it was not possible for anyone to see the Lord with mundane eyes. He also explained how by execution of pure transcendental service, one can get rid of the fruit of actions of accumulated work, and how he can transform his material body into a spiritual one. The spiritual body is alone able to enter into the spiritual realm of the Lord, and no one but a pure devotee is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. All the mysteries of transcendental realization are duly experienced by Narada Muni himself, and therefore by hearing such an authority, one can have some idea of the results of devotional life, which are hardly delineated even in the original texts of the Vedas. In the Vedas and Upanishads, there are only indirect hints at all of this. Nothing is directly explained there, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all the Vedic trees of literatures. So the Bhagavatam will give us all directly all the information on how we can transcend in this way. Suta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Sri Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Here is the freedom purport. Prabhupada, when he visited Russia for the first time in Moscow, he made a comment. He said, because those were the very heavy communist days, and he said that the people looked very unhappy, and he gave an example, because they weren't free. And he said, I may not want to go out of my room, but as soon as you say I can't go out of my room, then I am unhappy and it becomes like a prison. And then Prabhupada said, I am a freedom lover. I always like that. So this is a freedom lover's purport. Every living being is anxious for full freedom. So we can all think of all the restrictions that we have placed, that were placed upon us. We want to be happy. We want to go here. We want to go there. We don't want to get old. We don't want this. But we're restricted in every way. Every living being is anxious for full freedom, because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusion by the external energy everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up by the laws of nature. Prabhupada's famous quotation is that anyone who thinks that they are free, it does not speak well for their sanity. One person at 26 Second Avenue said, "I am free." And Prabhupada said, "Are you free to stop growing older?" No one is free. Controlled very strictly. A conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth, what to speak of one planet to another. But a full-fledged free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling. No one's forcing him to go here and there. He has no obligation even. And no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it, even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. And the final verse, and if anyone has any questions about that amazing purport, we can discuss it after. But there are some other things I'd like to read too. The final verse, all glories and success to Sri Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead. And so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. Sri Narada Muni ki jai. Quite wonderful. I'd like to read a few verses here that talk about the power of Krishna consciousness, especially about hearing. This is from the second canto, 8th chapter, 4, 5, and 6. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, manifest in their hearts within a short time. Nati dirgena, kalena nati dirgena, dirgena means the duration of time that will take is not very long before Krishna manifests in their heart. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. And 6, a pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of the Lord, for they have fully satisfied him as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. So these very much parallel what we've just heard also from Narada Muni. From the 11th canto, 14. Yes. One from 18 and then some from chapter 14. This is from the Uddhava Gita. Of this one? 14, 18. It's 14th. We'll read from 11, 14, 18 to 25. Rather, 28. A whole bunch of verses from Uddhava Gita. Very, very powerful. Krishna himself says, "My dear Uddhav, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. My dear Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity or renunciation. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one attain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Neither religious activities endowed with honesty and mercy, nor knowledge obtained with great penance, can completely purify one's consciousness if they are bereft of loving service to me. If one's hairs do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? A devotee whose speech is sometimes choked up, whose heart melts, who cries continually, and who sometimes laughs, who feels ashamed, then cries out loud, and then dances, a devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe. Just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state, similarly, the spirit soul, absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga, is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position by serving me in the spiritual world, of serving me in the spiritual world. When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form. The mind of one meditating upon the objects of sense gratification is certainly entangled in such objects. But if one constantly remembers me, then the mind is absorbed in me. Therefore, one should reject all material processes of elevation, which are like the mental creations of a dream, and should completely absorb one's mind in me. By constantly thinking of me, one becomes purified. And a few more from Canto 1 that you've already recently heard. Tasmarekena manasa bhagavan savatma pati shotavya kirtatavyas cha deyas pujas cha nityada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of his devotees. And 125, that was 124, 1215. Yaranudyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam Chandanti kovidastasya kona koyat katartim. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? And then, from what we just read, the 26th verse in the 5th chapter in the first canto. Tatra vaham krishna kata pragayatam anugrahena srinvam manohara tasraddaya me anupadam vishranvata priyasravasyanga mama bhavadruchi. O Vyasadeva, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. And one last thing I'd like to read. This is from Prem Bhakti Chandika of Narottama Das Thakur. O mind, this material body, which one attains because of his previous pious and impious deeds, is temporary. And the foolish attempt by all conditioned souls to accumulate more and more wealth is a clever trick of the illusory potency Maya. When the material body dies, what will happen to all the carefully collected wealth? Where will it go? O mind, don't work day and night with a great struggle simply to collect money. You are so foolish that you constantly work for such a fleeting goal. A monarch's kingdom is just like the dramatic performance of an actor. Although one sees them, they are never actually real, but only a pretense arranged by the illusory energy Maya. O mind, don't pay attention to these false material things. Fix your mind always on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fear his displeasure. Don't be concerned with other things. O mind, don't sin. Stay far away from sinful persons. Don't work to attain material piety, the resting place of material happiness. Don't strive for the false liberation imagined by the impersonalists. Prema bhakti shuddha nidhi tahe duba nirabadi ar jati chara nidhi prai. Nirantara sukha bhave shakala santabe jave para tatura karila upai. Dive into the shoreless nectar ocean of pure love for Krishna. It is larger than the largest saltwater ocean. If one swims in the nectar of the ocean of love for Krishna, Lord Krishna will make all his sufferings disappear and he will attain endless transcendental bliss. Anyera parasajena nahi haya kadachana ihate hoibe savadhan. Radha Krishna namagan Ese paramadhyan arna kariha paramana. Take great care only to serve the divine couple, and don't let any other activity touch you. Know that the chanting of the holy names of Sisi, Radha, and Krishna is the supreme spiritual meditation. Please don't try to raise any objection to this, or try to present evidence confirming any other view. Karma jnani micha bhakta na hoibe taya anurakta shuddha bhajanete karaman braja janela jay mata tahe habe anugata ese paramatattvadhana. O mind, please engage in pure devotional service which cannot be followed by the fruit of workers, speculative philosophers, or pseudo-devotees. Just accept that the opinion of the exalted devotees in Braja is the perfect explanation of the absolute truth. Pratana kariva sada shuddha bhave prema kata nama mantre kareya abheda. Astika kariyaman bajarange sri charane grante papa habe pariched. I shall continually offer prayers to the divine couple, and I shall describe the pure love of the Lord and his devotees. With my words I shall prove that the Supreme Lord is not different from the chanting of his holy names. O mind, have firm faith in Lord Krishna and worship the reddish soles of his lotus feet. Do this, and the karmic results of all your past sins will be smashed. Radha Krishna Sri Charana Matre Paramartha Dana Sa Jatane Ridayate Lao Duhan Nam Shuni Shuni Bhakta Mukhe Puni Puni Parama Ananda Shukapan. O mind, please place in my heart Sisi Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, which are my only treasure. Again and again hear the holy names of the divine couple from the mouths of the devotees, and in this way attain transcendental bliss. Good instructions from Srila Narottama Das Thakur. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Srila Narada Muni ki jay, Srila Vyasadeva ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes. Let me arrive back there. Wait. Is this 37? Very end, yes. Anyone else? Anyone have any suggestions what the meaning of that is? Yes. That's what it meant to you. Once one has to do his part in work, not just like that question came up from Ali Prus Prabhu about Tasyaiva Hetu Prayateta Kovido, that we shouldn't endeavor. So what does that mean? We still have to do our part. Thank you. Any other thoughts on this? Yes? Not passive. Yes. Similar. Yes, nice. That one isn't passive. Yes. His keeps responsibility. And one has his own desires to serve too. Yeah. I'm not able to hear. By nature, we're tatastha shakti. So we either become saturated with the material energy or saturated with the spiritual energy. When we're saturated with the material energy, who's doing most of everything? Maybe we're making some attempt and we're desiring in the material world, but who's doing everything really? Yes, but who are we thinking is doing everything? Yes, thinking myself is doing it. So similarly, when we're in the spiritual energy, we're under the shelter of the internal energy, tatastha shakti. So the internal energy is doing everything. That's what's going on. But the living entity is similarly thinking he's doing it, and that's glorious. Because the internal energy, say it's inspiring him to do something, but he's thinking he's doing it, and that's what makes it wonderful. Because the living entity is making his desire is strong and he wants to do something in Krishna's service. So the internal energy is reciprocating with that, and he's feeling that he's doing it, and then it's an offering of love as opposed to a self-centered offering. So if we want to reduce it to a what percentage is the living entity doing and what percentage the the material energy is doing or something. I don't have those figures handy. But my understanding is that's how it works. It's so glorious. That's what it means, that the living entity gains the shelter of Ladini Samvit, the internal energy of the Lord. We need a shelter. That's the Tatastha Shakti. But still he's feeling himself, I'm doing things. Otherwise it wouldn't be fun for him. It wouldn't be ecstatic for him. It wouldn't be fun for Krishna. If his energies are doing everything and he's fully aware of it, Krishna's consciousness, of course, it's impossible for us to understand. But we know that it's, he knows everything, but yet he doesn't know everything. Otherwise, the leelas wouldn't be fun for him, wouldn't be ecstatic for him. And from the 18th chapter, yeah. That we? But we still yet have some independence. This Baladev Vidyabhusana explains his point. You find it in the 10th canto in the prayers of the personified Vedas. He explains that if we don't have independence, then what's the use of giving us instructions through the Vedas? Do this sacrifice, do that sacrifice, do this and that. So we do have some independence. So when we're preaching, we emphasize no independence. Because everyone is ahankara vimudatma kartaham. It's me who's doing everything, completely illusory. So we emphasize that. But when it comes to love, we emphasize the independence. So which is it? How much? Who knows? I don't know exactly the proportions. Just like when Prabhupada, say, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Did he say that I'm the one doing it? No. He would say, this is my Guru Maharaj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's doing everything. But what is Krishna saying? Is Krishna saying, yes, it's me who's spreading the movement to all of? No, he's saying, this is Prabhupada. So who's right? Is it Prabhupada? Is it Krishna? Yes? This is the wonder of, because we want to know, we tend to want to know things fully in an analytical, scientific way, but ultimately that's not how things work, because only Krishna knows everything, so we're forced to know only a portion of reality. We explained everything as best we can scientifically and philosophically, but ultimately only Krishna knows everything. Yeah. Independence. But here, he's emphasizing something different. He explains that point. That's a preaching point. But this, in every respect, because without the independence, there can't be love. Say if you wanted to make an offering to Krishna now. Say if you wanted to make, you personally, individually, wanted to make an offering to Krishna right now. To get inspired to make an offering, would you like to be thinking of how that you have no independence, you can't choose anything, you can't... Does that help your offering? You have no choice. You know, you're very minutely... See what I mean? For there to be love, the independent aspect is emphasized. And then Krishna so kindly reciprocates with that. Certainly. Yeah. So you're saying we're like children. The example I think of is I put it in the Bhagavad Gita overview book this morning. To me, it's like the child with the weightlifter. He's not really lifting it. But yet, a lot depends on his independent desire to lift it. Otherwise, the father wouldn't have the impetus. So, is he lifting it or not lifting it? No, yes, yes, no. So, no, he's not lifting it. Certainly, he can't lift it. But yet, if he didn't want to lift it, then it wouldn't get lifted. And if he didn't try, the father sees the child trying. That's the point that Matajis were making. Like the very, very wealthy father sees the child trying to study hard. He says, I want to go to the best university. So the father has enough influence to get him into that best university. But he's going to wait till he sees that child trying and making his endeavor. Otherwise, it's useless for him to put him in there. But when he sees that the child is making his endeavor, then he'll use his influence and put him in there. So it's something Achintya Bedaved. That's my understanding. But when we preach Kartaham, Ahankara Vamudatma, Kartaham Iti Manyate. Because in this world, everyone is so arrogant, thinking that I'm the one doing it, and by my power, this is get done. Just see me. If you get in my way, you'll see. You'll find out. So arrogant. Countries, communities, everyone. This is the seed of our arrogance is our turning our back on Krishna. So therefore, ahankara vimudatma, it's the false ego.
But he's asking
Krishna. Yeah, and his mood as a bhakta, it's all you. And Krishna's mood as the Lord, it's all you. Look what you have done, Srila Prabhupada. You have fulfilled the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya, of maiden Chaitanya Bhakti.
He says you brought me here.
You brought me here, yeah.
But I also know the problem with
God. Oh, how he struggled. Yes, nice. It's everything is in the mood. Devotion is, after all, it's the not only the external work, but the internal mood of devotion, devotional service. But not just mood and no service either. It's all in the mood.
Oh, yes.
I love Krishna, it's all in the mood. But look, as you say, how Prabhupada endeavored. It was fantastic and awesome both, his endeavor. But you can't imitate the endeavor or the mood, actually, because he's so exalted. You have to become a humble servant of both. That's my opinion. Of what? Yes. If someone happens to like to discuss politics. Ah. That's Mahabharata, I think. You've read Mahabharata? Yes. Yeah, Krishna he made peace, he made war. He told Arjuna things. He told Arjuna to ask Duryodhana for the 5 arrows. So many things, but mostly Mahabharata. There's a little of Krishna's very blissful politics at the end of chapter 8 of the first canto. Krishna was the expert diplomat in the Mahabharata. So as soon as we discuss that, we're immediately discussing Krishna. And that's what Narada has told Vyasa, that everything not connected with Krishna will react with the mind and send us off into entangle us into more material desires. But things with Krishna Katha will have an opposite effect. So therefore everything should be discussed with Krishna. Yes, both are required. Yes. So does that answer that question, the freedom question? Even more powerfully than the Lord. And that's what we'll see at the end of the at the beginning of the ninth chapter, or the end of the eighth chapter and the ninth chapter, why Krishna has one of the reasons why Krishna brings Yudhisthira to Bhishma, because he wants Bhishma to do something that he is unable to do, because all opulence ultimately comes from freedom from material influence. I think that's really nice, because once one is free from material influence, even though one is spiritually influenced, it's still considered freedom, because it's a different realm. That's a nice point. Was that a question blossoming? No? Okay. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows us, we shall hear what happens next. Narada Muni, by his freedom, just left. Vyasadeva has heard all this. Previously he was feeling despondent. What will he do next? Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.